Okay, the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Shoklei Rabbi Abba Bar Zabda, the Mari Bar Mar. So Rabbi Abba Bar Zabda sent to Rami Rar to go Bami Nei Rav Huna. Go ask Rav Huna this question. Hadar B'Chatir Chaveru Mishlomi Da'ato. Person who lives in his friend's property without his knowledge. Again, this is the case of Zenen B'Zelo Chatir. And then Tarech La'lo Lo Sechar. Although, does he have to pay? Zenen B'Zelo Chatir. You do have to pay the rent or you do not have to pay the rent. Adohochi, by the time they got the question there, Nachnav Sheid Rav Huna. Rav Huna had already passed away, so obviously he couldn't ask Rav Huna. So Amalei Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna's son, right, Hachi Amar Abo, Mori, this is what my father said, Mishmei Derach. Eino Zarech Alo Lo Tchar. Then is that you don't have to pay Tchar. So Zenene, Vezeh Lo Chaser, you're not Chayiv to pay. Vasokha, and then was a second statement, which was, Asokha Bait Mi Ruvain, Malei Tchar De Shimon. Someone who rents a place from Reuven has to pay the rent to Shimon. It says, Shimon Marvite. This is a quick statement. What does Shimon have to do with this at all? Hachi Kamar, Nimsa Bayit Shel Shimon. Reuven rents him the property, and then he finds out that it really belongs to Shimon. Alright, Malo Oskar. He's got to pay rent to Shimon. It says, Tarte. This sounds like a Sira. Sounds like these are both cases of Zenene Vizilo Chaser. One case, the first case, you pass it, Eino Terech La'lo Tzchar, they don't have to pay. And the second case, you said, Ma'lo Lo Tzchar, that he does have to pay. So what's the story? It says, I the kind of the Agvo, I the low kind of the Agvo. So it becomes, the difference is simple, that it has to do with what the property is available to do. I mean, if the property is normally rented out, and then you live there, I mean, that, then you're taking advantage, then it is, then nene, vizeh, chaser. Then nene, vizeh, chaser, then you're going to have to pay rent. On the other hand, if it's the lokai milago, right, if it's not generally rented out, the property isn't a rental property, and you live there, and then if it's a lokhatur, and you'll be patur. He's marnami, with a similar type of case. I'm rabchir ba'av and I'm a rab. Ramilam rabchir ba'av and I'm a rab huna. Hadar b'chatur chaver shlomidato, ain't a rechal lo skat. Case of zenene, if it's a lokhatur, you don't have to pay rent. But so bait mi bnei ha'ir, but if he rented out from the people of the city, ma'alat shkar the balim, he's got to pay rent to the owners. When it says balim mavit ayu, again, what does the balim have to do with here? So when it says okay, kamar nimsa lo balim, they rented that out to him, the people of the city rented out to him, and then they find out that it was really owned by someone. It wasn't just public property. Ma'alam len shkar, then he has to pay rent. When it says tarti again, it doesn't make sense here. You have zenen as a little chas. In one case, you're paskening, he has to pay rent. One case of passing, he doesn't have to pay rent. But it says, no, I the kind of the agro, I the low kind of the agro. Again, it has to do with the status of the property. It's really not a case of zenene vizilo chaser, but rather a case of zenene vizil chaser. So the fact that you owe rent, right, is because the property is a rental property. And therefore, when you live in there, you're actually calling a piece of room that he can't rent it out to others. And in that case, you're going to have to pay rent. The instance where it wouldn't otherwise have been rented out, then you haven't caused him any loss, and that's Zenene Vizilo Chaser, and that'll be Patur. You won't have to rent rent. Amrav Chora, Amrav Huna, Amrav Hadar, Chaser Chaveru Shlomidato, Ein Tarech Lalut Luskar. Now he gives a reason. But Zenene Vizilo Chaser, you don't have to pay, Mishum Shinemar. Because it says in the Pasuk in Ishaya, Shia Yukat Shar. They're talking about, in Perch of Dalit, in Ishaya, they're talking about the destruction that will come over Eretz Israel and the cities. And one of the things it mentions over here, that the gates of the cities will be struck, or stricken, with desertion. Shia means desertion. So there it just sounds like emptiness. I mean, the Pasuk and the Pasuk is that they will be, right, the desertion will leave the gates unused, and therefore they will fall apart. But yeah, now the Gemara says, "Va'amar Barabashi." See from this next statement, the Zichazilek, that they said the Amoraim here referring to this Shia not as desertion or not or being empty, but rather as some sort of shade that comes to places that are deserted. It says, "I saw him umenageach kitorak, and it gores like an ox." And that the fact that a place remains empty, right, is detrimental to the place because of this shade that appears or lives there when there is no inhabitants or human inhabitants.
The fact that you're not allowed to, you don't have to pay.
Right, that's why you don't have to pay because you're giving an advantage to the owner. Had the property remained empty, right, you're an enemy here because when you're by him living, by you living there, you're protecting his property. Right, you're protecting the shade for the property. Now the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar, Beit HaMitzvah Yotis. So Rabbi Yosef Zeiv gives the other opinion, which is, right, the more common wisdom, is that when someone lives in a house, they see what goes wrong. If a pipe burst or something detrimental happens in the house, if somebody's living there, they can see and they can fix it. When nobody's living there, things go wrong without anybody paying attention to them, and then it comes worse and worse. So by living in the house, you actually maintain or upkeep the house, and therefore, again, it's a benefit to the person who's not renting it out, but who had left it empty.
Did you have to leave when the Baal tells you to?
That sounds right. I think so. Right. From this, it's interesting because this says that Zen Nenev is a little cluster is inconclusive, but these all these cases when you're living there, it's Zen Nenev, Zen Nenev, and that's why.
Yeah,
right.
This is almost like.
That's why you don't have to pay. Right. So my denial. What's the difference between the Talmud of Yosef that inhabitants take care of the house versus if the inhabitants scare away the shade? So the Gemara is the Kam Mishdamesh Bevitivivitivna. The difference between whether if he uses it for wood and straw, meaning there are instances where someone doesn't have inhabitants, human inhabitants, right, then it's still used, it's in use, but it doesn't have human inhabitants. So in that case, we don't have to worry about Zilakla Darbo, Mishum Shi'ialeka. Again, you don't have a problem of the shade because it's in use. The house isn't just empty, it's not deserted. On the other hand, it's only infrequently entered. Because it's, you know, wood and straw, so therefore there's not somebody always there looking out for the issues that are coming up in the house. How Gavro, the bana apadna atilkalata deyatmen. There's an individual here who built a house or palace or something on top of a garbage dump, on landfill of the Assumption. On top of landfill he built this house. It's not clear to me. What you see as the Gemara progresses that whether he really built this house. It doesn't seem so from the continuation of the Gemara. Agve Rav Nachman Apadnei Minei. Rav Nachman took away the house and gave it to the atonement. So let us think that Rav Nachman holds Hadar B'chotzei Chaver Shalom Itato Tzerecha Lo'otzcha. That he has to pay the rent. So this guy built it on the atonement's land. It's the atonement's place. And then he owed them rent. So he took the house away and gave it to the atonement. So where it says, now, how mikara karmenai habu daribe. In the past, or earlier on, there was a type, either Rashi says a type of people, or karmenai of people, or kadmonim. That there were already people who lived there, squatters, I don't know who these people were, that lived there already, and they were paying some sort of rent to the atonement. But they were paying a very low rent to the atonement. Now the question about this low rent, again, it sounds like they lived there. What were they living in? And were they living? The house was built by this new guy. So you have to say, I don't know if they were squatters, they had their tents, they pitched their tents on top of the garbage dump. Whatever it was, they were paying some small fee to be there. And then this gentleman comes along, builds the house, lives in the house, and pays them nothing. So he says, Amalei zil paisinu liyatmen. So he says this individual came and built the house, go pay them the same amount that these squatters were paying before on the landfill, meaning that you basically caused them not to lose that value. Fine, you don't have to pay them the full amount of rent on the house because you built that house, but nevertheless, they were gaining some value. Pay them at least that value. Lashka, he didn't listen to them. He didn't listen to Rav Nachman. So, Agve Rav Nachman Pande Minei. So he took away the house to pay for that value, that small value that he didn't pay. It was accruing. And therefore he says, I'm taking the house away so that I can pay them what they otherwise are due. This small amount of rent. And that's again, the Tosfos formulates that the person has to pay machmat kein chayav l'shalem mashenehne avlish lo chiser kol kach. Right, even though he has to pay what his benefit was, even though he only caused a small amount of right depreciation or value, and he says my proof is paying with plus polish my things. I mean, al mishum shachriyita that shviata. So the blackening of the walls, right, the Gabriel you mentioned, that is that when we say that he caused depreciation in value, we don't say he just paid the depreciation of value. Once he caused some sort of depreciation or loss of value, then we say that he's now on the hook for the entire benefit that he's getting. It's not that he just has to replace what they would have otherwise collected from these squatters. But once he's knocked out these squatters and getting nothing from them, then he has to pay the full benefit of his living there, even though that does not equate to the loss caused to the atonement. And that's what Rav Nachman was suggesting to him. If you just compensated for the loss that the squatters were making, then you would be clean and you wouldn't have to pay any more in excess of that amount. The fact that he refused to pay anything, all right, or made him now culpable or obligated to pay for the full amount of his benefit. All right, now, the Gemara says, Ketza Mishalemet Mashanani. In our Mishnah, it talks about the case, right? We divided, mentioned this a little bit yesterday, the difference between Mashanani and Mashazika. Right, that there's a difference between paying the actual damage you did versus paying for the benefit that your animal got from eating the food. I mean, that instead of you having to feed him, you got fed in the Rishut HaRabim, so that's a benefit that you have to compensate for. Hezek is to go the actual value of what he ate that we don't acquire you necessarily. So what are the cases? So Amarav says, Ubim Mechazeret, right? Our Mishnah mentions two cases. One case is where he's walking down Rechava, Emsa Rechava, in the middle of the road. The other one is Betide Rechava, on the side of the road. By Emsa Rechava, then he only has to pay Mashineni. On the Tide Rechava, he has to pay Mashechazika. What is the case, Betide Rechava? On the side of the road, what's the case that the animal ate from the side of the road? So Rav says, Ubim Mechazeret. The case is that he turns his head over to the side of the road and eats. Meaning that his body is still in the main part of the road. He doesn't turn his body at all. He just turns his head over and eats from there. And Rav already considers that to be what? Hezek. That's enough to be that you mishalemet masha ezika. Ushmuel amar afilu mechazeret nami potur. Alright, that even if he turns his head, he's still patur. Not considered to be tzidei rechava until he moves over, until he moves his whole body. The behemah moves to the tzidei rechava and eats over there. Now again, when we say mechazeret, right, is according to Rav here would be chayav on tzidei rechava. That's the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos what that means. Rashi said on the Mishnah that when it means mashalem mashachazika, those are cases he pays chatzi nezek. He becomes like a Tom, becomes like Karen. Why? When he's walking down the middle of the street, that is that's Shane Regal because that is Orchet. But if he stops and turns his head to eat from the side of the Rechov, that's already Mishuneh. It's Mishuneh, then it's like Karen, and that's why you're Chaya for Chatzi Nezek. So he disagrees and says no. When he says when he turns to the side of the road to eat, that's not Chatzi, that's not Karen, this is still within the confines of Shane. It's just that the city of Rechov are considered like Rishuta and Nizak already. Because in the middle of the road, then you don't have permission to put out your fruits, to lay out your stuff. But on the side of the road, that is the kubal that people place their stuff on the side of the road. And if the animal turns to eat over there, then he's eating from Baserha Nizak, in a sense. So then he'll be Chayuv Nezek Shalem, the full Nezek, according to Tosfos. That is different. Rashi thinks it's only it's Karen and Chatzi Nezek. The Re brings sense. It's a good Rashi. He says, no, it means Nezek Shalem. So again, Rav says Mechazeret, it's enough to be Chayav, he just simply turns his head. Shmuel Amar, Afil Mechazeret, Navi Patur. So according to Shmuel, when you grab a case that is chayav, meaning that if it can't turn its head to go to the rechava, it's going to be going to shavka the rechava, but ag lava kamim to the rechava. If he takes his whole body, the behemah moves entirely out of the middle of the road and moves over to the side of the road. Some people make it an independent statement. Machazeret, what's the din of machazeret where he turns his head? Rav amar chayavis, Shmuel amar tura. What is that case that he pays the hezek? Okay, according to Rashi, chatzin as according to Tosfos, it means nezek shalem. The mechayva kagon the shavka the rechava va'adlo kamim to the rechava. Again, he left the main thoroughfare and he moved over to the side in order to eat. Now, meiti Rav Nachman Yitzchak mipetach hachanut mishalemet mashenani. Right, if he eats out of the front of the store, then he pays what he was in there. If he eats from inside the store, then he pays Mashe Hezika. So, Hecha Mishkachala, what is the front of the store? Right, Pshita, the front of the store is Vimachazeret, when he's turning his head. Right, why is it so Pshita? Why is it Pshita that he's turning his head over there? Because this is the area where the storekeepers used to take down their Trito, take down their shades, the wood that's in front, lay it out in front, and then place the wares or their wares on top of that. And there isn't enough space for the animal to enter or to be there physically. So it has to be a case of mechazeret, where he's turning his head into that space and eating, not where he's actually standing in that space. V'kamar mashenenit. Mashenenit in machazika lug. So he only pays mashenenit. He doesn't pay machazika. So now who's that like? That is like Shmuel. Right? The Shmuel says the mechazeret you're not chayav. Right? And you're only chayav when he actually gets there. So here's paying mashenenit. So who mostly love movement for it? Well, answer that no. We can have a situation where it works out, and what's that? The kaima bekeren zavit, right? The case where it's on a corner. since he's on a corner, right, then it's a case where he's still be'emta rechava, right, and since he's an emta rechava, everybody agrees there that it's what? That's not, that's the case of Patur, he only pays mashnet. Even Rav is going to agree there because there's no mechader. And the case set up over here, Rashi sets it up here, if you look on the right, the picture, it's a case where he's walking from the Mavui Gadol into the Mavui Katan. And the store is found on the corner of these two. In the corner there, the store is present. As he walks in from the Mavui Gadol, he can walk him straight and eat straight from the store without having to have to bend his head, having to do anything, because the Mavui Gadol is much wider and allows him access to the Chanut without having to go off his path, without not being in the Emsa Rechava. So again, he can eat in Emsa Rechava without turning, and then according to Rav, that would be a case that is Patur. That's what Rashi says. So it says that it's a case where there's a mita, there's a turn on the road, and the store is in the corner of the turn. This is at the far corner of the turn, that's where the store is. The animal can be walking, and without ever having to turn its head or its face, it can eat from the store because it's walking this way, and then it's going to turn. So before it turns, it can eat from the store, and then continue on and never leave the Emsa Rechava. So there's either possibility to answer up, that it's not a question on the route. So you could amrei. And some that say, Mechazeret Kuli Amalo Pligit Chayevet. Everybody agrees that Mechazeret is Chayav, meaning that both Rav and Shmuel said, if you Mechazeret is Chayav, Ki Pligay, Mechazim Makom Rishuto, Rishut Rabim, where he extends the Rishut Rabim into his own personal property. That means that he pulls his wall back into his own property, and it gives, part of his property now gets adjoined to the Rishut Rabim. What's the case here? The case sounds like over here, Rashi explains the case. That is, he builds the fence back, leaves that area for Shuta Rabim, and then he digs a bore over there. He digs a bore. Now this is his Rishut. He's digging a bore in his Rishut. Okay, he digs a bore, then he's maskier his Rishut, but not the bore. So he leaves the bore in his possession, but he's maskier the extra land that he was that he extended from the Rishut Rabim. Then they Rashi explains, Tosfos brings an alternative shot, that the re rejects and then the re learns like Rashi over here again. That's the case where there's masker is Rishut and there's a boar that's in there that belonged originally within his Rishut. So now, what's the case? Keep the gate. Kasim makum shutol shut rabbi. Mahochi itmar amarab. This is what it says. Amarab. Loshna no ele mechazeret. We only learned that in the case of mechazeret. Aval mekasim makum shutol shut rabbi. Pidura. If he turns his head to eat from the Tzidei Rechava, then you're going to be chayav. Aval, a person's mekatzim makom l'shuto l'shuto rabim, then he is patur. Right? Why is he patur over here? And then I will say in 1 second. Shmuel Amar, afilu mekatzim makom l'shuto l'shuto rabim, chayevet. In that case, you are chayevet. So now the question comes up to be, what's the culpability of the Baal Habor here? You have your own reshut, you extend your reshut rabim into your own reshut, you pull the fence back, then you dig a bore. After that, you maskir the area. Now this boar over here, are you responsible for people that fall into this boar? So Rav believes that what? That you are chayav if someone falls into the boar. Since you are chayav, the Baal HaBor is chayav when he falls into the boar, we have a principle. Kol ha-mekalkulim b'shut rabim, shehiziku chayavim l'shalek. They do damage to other people when they're mekalkulim b'shut rabim, then they're chayav to pay. B'chol ha-makuzik behem zakah. If you damage them, too bad, because they did something wrong. Exactly. The Rav believes over here the Baal HaBor is chayav. Since the Baal HaBor is chayav, if an animal goes and eats his fruits in that area, he's patur, because you did something wrong. If you did something wrong, and someone else comes and eats, too bad, right? That's your boss. And then Shmuel holds, no. Shmuel holds that the Baal HaBor is patur. And the Baal HaBor is patur, therefore the person who eats the fruits in there is going to be chayav. Because the Baal HaBor is patur, therefore the one who eats is chayav. Alright, so we'll see in a second why, right, good question, why is he patur? Nayamar says, Lema, bebor b'shuto, kamifligay. That's exactly what the machlokas here, it has to do with the boar in your own reshut. Rav, damar, patur, kosava, bor b'shuto, chayav. Rav, who thinks that you're a patur for eating the fruits of your seeds, who believes that if you put up a boar in your own possession, then you are chayav. Ushmo, damar, chayav, kosava, bor b'shuto, patur. Right, that when he says that it's in your possession, you are patur. Again, the boar was in your property, you remarked the property afterwards, you were entitled to dig the boar when it was there. Question is now, that entitlement, once you've now given to the Shutar Abim, is it a takala or not? That's going to, Nagmar is going to reject this. I'm going to call Rav. Emelecha be'alma. I'll say in general, boar b'shuto patur. In general, a boar in his reshut is patur. B'shani mokhah. Over here, it's a different case. Why is the Amar Lako Kaminach? The Makarvet Lul the Perutah Peshuta Rabim. And he says that, fine, a boar, you're a potter for. But on the other hand, he can say to this guy, what are you putting your fruits all the way up against, adjacent to the Reshuta Rabim? And that you're making them accessible to the, right, the Reshuta Rabim. And by making them accessible to Reshuta Rabim, they become like a Reshuta Rabim. What was it your right to put your fruits all the way adjacent to Reshuta Rabim? And then make me obligated to pay them for my shore eating them. That doesn't make sense. You basically caused the problem by placing your fruit so close to the Reshuta Rabim. Shmomar be'almo bor b'shuto chayav. Now, in general, bor b'shuto could be chayav. The bishlomo bor ikalameh malav adatei. By a boar, you can say, I didn't see it. I mean, that's not on the plane. If you look on the level plane, you may not see it, and then the animal falls in or something happens, it says, I don't see it. Peros b'ikalameh malav adatei. You have a big pile of fruit there. What can you say? I didn't see my shore walking over there looking at the peros over there. That's obvious. Hakazilu. He can see them. If he can see them, then he is responsible for them. That's the Gemara says that we can't prove from this anything about bor b'shuto. Again, according to this Mi'igadami in the Gemara, everybody holds Mi'chazeret. If you turn your head, you are Chayav. And the question over here, why are you Chayav? We thought that it might be because of the din of bor b'shuto. Gemara says, no, that's not the case, because the problem here has to do with basically, how do we obligate the person to Reshuta Rabim? According to Shmuel, if it's a boar, we say, okay, maybe you didn't see it. And therefore, the Bala boar might be Chayav, whereas when the fruits are there, say, look, he could have seen it, he could see it, prevent your animal from going over into this side, or going over to the side. Right, it's Tidei Rechava, Yimashalem Mashah Hezika. Because everybody agrees here, Mechazeret, if you turn your head, that you are Chayav. So in this case. Then, the other possibility according to Rav is, no, that the boar b'shuto is Padur. Right, but why am I obligated in this case? In this case, why am I also chayav? Says that you should never put your fruits over here on the edge of the right on the edge of the Reshuta Rabim, and then make me obligated to pay over here, because even though generally emelcha baba alma baba bor b'shuto is patur, but over here shani hocha damalei kolkol machu kavet lo the perutech. What right do you have to come and put your fruits all the way adjacent to the Reshuta Rabim? And therefore, you're going to be chayav if the you're not going to be patur. So if the shore eats them, then you're going to be patur. So when it says lema mechazeret nahi, let us say the mechazeret, this idea that the animal turns its head and then becomes obligated in paying. Let's say this is machlokas tanaim. What machlokas tanaim? The tanya. Afla mitocha rechava mishalamet mashenanit. He eats out of the street, the middle of the street. He pays what he benefits. Mitzidei rechava. Shalamet Mashe Zika, Divri Rabbi Meir, Vir Rabbi Yehuda. That's like our Mishnah, like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar, Omrim, Ein Darka Le'echol Ela L'Haleich. Not normal for animals to stand except able to walk. It says, Rabbi Yosef, Hainu Tainatama. What's the difference between them? Doesn't seem to be any difference between the two Shitot and our Mishnah. So Ela Mechazeret Ika Ben Ayu. That's the exact difference between them. Tainatama Sarah Mechazeret Nami Mishalem Mashinani. Right, that the Tanakhama believes that even if Mechazeret pays Mashneni, because he's still in the Emtzar Rechava. Rabbi Yosef Tevar, Mishalem, it's Mashazika, then you pay Mashazika, because it's the normal way of an animal to walk. If it stops already and turns its head, that already is not Kedarka, and therefore you're going to be obligated. Right, says, look, the Kuliyama Mechazeret, Ikarab, Ikishmuel. Everybody holds either Karab or Shmuel means either you are Chayav or you are Patur, even though it's not, it doesn't seem, as Tosus points out over here, that Rabbi Yossi can't hold like Shmuel because he's Mechayev in the Reshuta Rabim. Right, Rabbi Yossi, we're going to see in a second, is Mechayev in Reshuta Rabim, so that can't be like Shmuel. But, Bacha bebir b'se'acher kamiflege, they're arguing about what does bir b'se'acher mean? Marsa bebir b'se'acher below Reshuta Rabim. Means, what does it mean, bir b'se'acher? It means not in Reshuta Rabim, but anywhere else you will be Chayev. Marsa bebir b'se'acher below Reshuta Mazik. That means bir b'se'acher means anywhere besides the Reshuta Mazik. And now the Hakmi of the Gemara is that you're now chayev in Reshuta Rabim. Even if Rabbi Yossi is going to believe that you're chayev even inside the Reshuta Rabim. So Reshuta Mazik, right? So it says Reshuta Mazik. You need me a pasuk to tell me about this. Lema percha b'reshuti my bite. What's your stuff doing inside of my field? I mean, what are you putting your perils down in my stuff? Of course, my shore is going to eat it. You put it down, you don't have permission to have it there. Ella the Ilfa Rav Oshia Yigmanawa. The Machlokas Adinim is about Ilfa and Rav Oshia. That was in yesterday's daf. You remember, Ilfa is a case where the behema Pashta Savarava Chla Mialgabi Chavrata. It ate off the back of its friend. That's one case. The other case of Moshe was a case where a behemoth kofetet, that it pulled itself up on its front legs and ate out of the barrel, out of something on top there. Okay, in both of those cases, whether those are chayevets or not, that's going to be the machlokes between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yossi. Right, so that obviously the difference between what Ilfa said and Rabboshi said, but nevertheless, because Ilfa or Rabbi Yossi believes that it's kofetet, in the case of kofetet, that's caring, because that's really unusual where it lifts itself up in the barrel. Other than Ilfa says that when he eats off the back of his friend, that's considered shein and that's considered ragil. Nevertheless, that'll be the machlokus between the two tanoim here and this brisa, be whether we say that Ilfa and Rabbi Yossi is chayavin, right, or not. So Rav Meir says that when you're in the middle of the road, you are the olam patur. And even Ilfa and Rav Oshia's cases, you're still patur because that's enter rechava. Too bad. And Rav Yossi comes says no, that's not the derech of animals. The derech of animals is to walk. When they're walking and eating, that's considered shame. If they jump, climb up on something, if they lean over and turn their necks over to eat something, right, then over off the back of their friend, that's not the normal way, and therefore in those cases you're going to be chayavim, Kamo Ilfa and Rabboshia said before that you'll be chayavim in those instances. Alright, Akeles v'agdi shekapzu mirosh agav v'shavru et hakelim. Right, that the Akeles v'agdi that jumped off the top of a roof, and then they broke the kelim. V'shalem nezik shalem, they pay full nezik, v'nei shein v'ladim. That normal behavior of dogs and goats is to jump from high places down to low places. If they land on the kelim, that's considered to be a paid nezek shalem. A kelev shnatal chara, this is a case that we had earlier, right, that the kelev that takes a burning or burnt piece of bread, v'alach l'gadish, v'achala chara, he eats the bread by this new location, v'hidli k'gadish, and then he lights the place on fire, alach chara, v'shalem nezek shalem. On the loaf, on the bread, the burnt bread, he pays full nezek, because that's shame. And v'alach gadish, v'shalem chati nezek. On the gadish, he pays chati nezek, which would be the topic of tomorrow's daf. Ken Tosfos brought this down yesterday's daf. If you remember, Tosfos brought down a proof about what the case of Mitzgalgel is. Right? Yesterday, there's Makos between Rashi and Tosfos, the case of Mitzgalgel. Rashi seems to say that the case of Mitzgalgel is that the animal drags the item, either into the, depending on the Makos in the gear stuff, drags it into the Rishuta Rabim or drags it into the Rishuta Nizak. So Tosfos says, what type of question is that over here? Our Mishnah, right, is explicit here that if the Kelev takes the Charara over to a gadish and eats it over there, he's chayv nezek shalem where the gadish is. That's the chaser and he's up. So it doesn't matter where he got it from. All it matters is where he ends up and eats it. So he says that what's the question about if the animal's dragging the item along? So the Tosafot has explained over that it's mitgalgel, means that it's rolling by itself and the animal stops it from rolling in one of the two locations, prevents it from making its final destination. But that's one of his proofs is from this part of the Mishnah. Okay, now Mar says time of the cups too. The reason that you're chayiv in our mission as a shalem is because they jumped. Hana flew. Had they fallen, patur, then you'd be patur. Amo kasavar tzilato b'pshiyah v'sub bonet, patur. Here's a case where hezkalah, the beginning is pshiyah. Why? Because when he left them up on the roof, it's all likely that they're going to jump off. So then he didn't do a proper shmirah. In the end, they fall off, which is an onet. So nevertheless, so what do we say here? That it's patur. Tanya nami oke. Akele v'agdishu kapsu mirosh agag, mishiru et akele, mishan v'nez shalem. They pay full nezik when they jump. Not loop to ring. So you see over here that's explicit in the price. What we're being medayik from our Mishnah is explicit in the price, so that when they fall, you're patur. So that's anichol the mandam retchilat b'shiyah. So when it's patur, that makes sense according to the one who says that when you start with b'shiyah and you end with ones, that you are patur. The mandam are chayav. Ma'ivu lemeimer. How are you going to explain this Mishnah? Here you started out with an improper shmirah. He left them up there. They can jump off, and in the end they fall off. And we're saying they're patur. What's the one who says chayav and say? Says kon megarve kelim the gabe kotel. No, it's a case where the kelim were close to the wall. When the kelim are very approximate or right adjacent to the wall, then if they jump off the roof, they won't land on the kelim. Because when you jump outward, right? You jump a little distance. When you fall, they fall directly below the wall. So in that instance, right, the jumping, he's not really a poshea the gabe these kelim. Why isn't he pushing out these kalim? Because if had they jumped, they would never have hit these kalim. When they fall, they do hit the kalim. So in that instance, it's patur because there is no tefillah to b'shia. It's really ones and ones. Right? He would never have affected the kalim had they not fallen. The chikapti b'kvita, right? If they had jumped off, look, not play a lie, he wouldn't have fallen on them. V'afilu, tefillah to b'shia leka. Here, even like starting with b'shia, you don't have it. It's all ones. Mitchila ad sof, it's an ones. Amar avid, Tamar Avid Mishmei Derava. So this is the name. Remember, Pamim Shapilu Naflu Nami Chayav. And there are some cases where a person, when the animal falls off, that you would be chayav. What's that? Mishkach Chala Bekotel Ra'ua. That's the case where the wall, the geder up top on the roof, is a weak wall. So when you put them up there, the all likelihood is that they'll lean against the wall and it's gonna, they're gonna fall over. What's this? My knee. What's the case here? The Baila Suke, that is an off-field, arche. Right? The normal way is that such a wall will fall down. And if it falls down, they're gonna go with it. The guy says, wait a minute. Blown off the arche. In the end, right, the wall didn't fall down. The Nafal Inu. And then there, and the animal fell. So again, we have a case of Kliyat Obishiyah, the Sofa Bone Etu.
What didn't fall?
The wall didn't fall, but the animals did fall. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a case where you're chayav even when the animals fall. What's that the case? When they put them on the roof, but the weak wall. That weak wall is unlikely it's going to fall over, and the animals are going to go right over with the wall, or the wall itself will cause the...
They leaned with the wall,
and they fell over. Then the Gemara says, what was the case in the end? The case in the end was the wall stood. And they fell with edge because he was liable because he put up a weak wall there and they were to go over the edge with the wall. Instead, right, the wall stayed and they went over the edge anyway, which is an onus. That's not to be expected. And they're an onus. So that's a chibato bipshia, sofoba onus, too. And then we're back to the problem of whether that's a machokas, patur and chayav. Why should it be necessarily, right, chayav in this instance? So why says tricha? No, it's a case here that is a kotel tsar. Right, that is, Rashi gives two explanations of what a kotel tsar is. Ilish makea gag tsar v'dachuk, right, that it's very narrow space up there. V'ini chem v'rosh agag, habalei la suke date kapse amako, kedarkan. That he should have thought that since the wall is a small space, that the animals were going to jump and perch themselves on top of the wall. That's normal behavior of these animals. And if they're perched on top of the wall, then it becomes normal for them to fall off, because it was a narrow, it was a thin wall. They couldn't really balance themselves on there. It was a small space. The animals jump on top of the wall, climb on, and then they fall off the wall. That's normal. In that case, you'll be chayav for nafla. Or the other case, Rashi says, lishnafrina, sorry for shufa. That the wall was on a slant. The top of the wall was a slant. So therefore, since the animals jump on the wall, when it's planted like that, then the natural way for such animals is to slide off such a wall. So slide off the wall and become, right, injured by the wall.
In two cases of shia.
Right, both of these cases is really a pushe up front.
Both of shia and
Shia, right, meaning that both putting up the wall ra'ua, or in this case you don't even need a kosher ra'ua, you could put up, these could be normal walls, but because of their structure, the way these walls are structured, he should have thought that they might fall, these animals might fall. Since he should have thought they might fall, you could have both for kfitza and for nefila in this instance. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, Hakelev Agdish Dilgu Mimata Lamawu. That they jumped from down to up to rim. Mimalo lamata chayavim. From up to down, they're chayav. It's normal for a goat and a dog to jump down, but not for them to jump up. Adam v'tarnagol, shadugu ben lamalo ben lamato chayavim. For a human and tarnagolim, irrespective of which direction they go, tarnagol again jumps both directions, but Adam doesn't seem to be a big chiddush. Adam's always muhad, whatever he does is, Chayav, right? So it's not a question really by Adam whether he jumps up, jumps down. Either way, he is going to be chayav. But Tanya, we have a brisa that says a kelav agdi shidilgu ben milamala lamata ben milamata lamala p'turim. No matter whether they jump up or down, they are patur. This is the girsa that we have, girsa of Rashi. It's not. We'll see in a second that it's not necessarily the girsa of others. The Gosa Gra here brings down that the rif and the Rama had a girsa that was chayavin. I'll read you the Gemara first according to the Turim, and then read the Gemara according to the chayavin. So what does it mean they're Turim? So now, if that's the case, you have a brisa that are soteri each other, right? One brisa says when the kelav and the gi jump down, you're chayav. One case when they jump down, that you are patur. So Targumara Papad Apit Mefach. They switch their roles. What does it mean they strip their roles? Kalba B'Zkira. In this case, the kalba, the kelav, right, jump. Instead of usually the way the kelav, the dog, goes down or slides down as it uses its nails, it digs in, it goes down. So here, instead of doing that, it jumps. Right? And diab tzricha. On the other hand, the gdi is the other way around. A goat normally jumps. And instead over here, it stuck its nails in or its hoof into the, right, into the wall and slid itself down. So since there's a shinui over here, right, but if there's a shinui over here, it becomes keren and not regal or shane or regular normal damage. So Mar says, okay, I might turin. If it's Karen, why are you patur? It says, no, patur means nezek shalem, v'chayavim, v'chati nezek. That's exactly what it means. No, patur means you don't have to pay full nezek, you pay chati nezek. That's according to Gitta Tet Turim. We're explaining why you patur over here, because the cases are unusual. On the other hand, if you have the Girsa chayavim over here, like the Rambam and the Rish have over here, chayavim, then Rav Papa's explanation is for the first braisa. The second braisa, everything is chayav. The first braisa, which says that you patur when they went up, instead of down, then this is what Rav Papa is explaining. Why are they patur when they went up? They went up, or they climbed up in an unusual manner. Usually the dog uses its nails to climb up, and instead over here, it jumps up. So that's unusual for the dog. Since that was unusual, then it's patur, again, like Karen, and that means patur minezek shalem, chati nezek. And the gdi, again, is patur. The gdi is patur in that case, because the gdi here, instead of jumping like it normally does, it came up with, climbed upwards with its nails, and therefore it is patur. Again, it's Karen over here, and then we're asked, what does that mean, patur? Patur means minezek shalem, chayav, abir, chati nezek. So again, depending if you say chayavin of turim here, Rav Papa is explaining this brisa, according to Rashi Girsa. Where the gifts of the Rambam and the Rish is explaining the first price, to explain why you're patur in the upward motion in the first price. That's what Rav Papa is going to explain. But according to the Rish and the Rambam, that say chayavin, right? Why is he patur over there? Because it was unusual. What was unusual about him jumping up? That was the case of the explanation of Rav Papa.